There you go.
Dr. A.D. Frank was a fine professor, and he taught a class in, on current news in the auditorium in Austin. As a lecture on current news, because back in those days, we didn't have television, and a lot of students didn't listen to much news on radio. But it was a 1 hour, one credit course or something like that, maybe. I think it's a one credit course. And he was good at that, and so I think I took even extra ones just to hear his lectures. The Armistice Day barbecue is under Wright Building. The big thing.
Yeah, I bet.
Because there were a lot of World War I veterans who were not too old in 1933 and 34, mm-hmm. since the war ended in 1918. And I always went to them. The Greenville people were very much involved with college activities, and the college accepted them. They never turned us away from things. We were invited to everything. Walter Latham. Later, a principal of Pitt County, of Pitt, North Pitt High School, Walter Latham, umpired virtually all the baseball games I played in 4 years at East Carolina. I put in my minutes. I always thought he was a good umpire because he always gave me good calls. And when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he wrote a letter on my behalf.
Oh, good.
I remember him. And of course, I mentioned here John Christian Barry. Mm-hmm. The old North Pitt County Hospital on Johnston Street. It's a white building, and it's, I don't know what it is now, but it, at one point was the welfare office, but my father had an office in it. He was a superintendent.
Okay.
I remember that building so well. Let's see now, I'm skipping down here. Some of these, the reason I'm skipping, I've mentioned some of these.
Mm-hmm.
I remember very well the algebra class taught by Mariah Graham.
Now what was she like? As a teacher?
Strict.
I think weren't they all?
I don't believe I saw too many pictures of faculty members smiling when they were smiling.
Yeah.
And I didn't see many pictures in my old yearbooks of many students who were smiling.
Mm-hmm.
You look in those yearbooks, everybody's stern.
Yeah.
You look to them. They're stern. Let me tell you, everything was a tight ship. Some of these I've already talked about, that's why I'm skipping through here again. When the city swimming pool on Fifth Street across from the old high school was in use, but when integration came in, the desegregation came in, they closed it, paved it, made a parking lot. It may be a parking lot today. They swim in there. But it was right where on the edge of the campus, walking, when you walk towards downtown, you'd walk right by it.
Oh.
And there was a little drugstore named Pleasant's Drugstore right on the edge of the campus, which the college students could stop and get a Coke and go on downtown to go to one of about three major women's stores, Sehiba Forbes, Blooms, and Blunt Harvey. They were where the girls got their clothes. The freshman class of 1933 had, and I guesstimated by looking at the picture, 75 students.
That's probably about right.
The freshman class of 2003, over 3,400.
Yeah, and no place to put them.
The present president's house on Fifth Street was purchased from Red Young, who ran a hotel and a store down on Dickinson Avenue, and my brother in Greenville, younger than me, dated Red's daughter, and he used to go to the what's now the president's home. That's where they lived. And the college bought that from Red Young. And Dr. the first college president's house was right across from that main entrance of Wooden House.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in there a lot of times. I knew the families of everyone living on Fifth Street, every family on both ends of Fifth Street, even the end of West Fifth Street, past downtown going west. I knew them all. I grew up with Greenville. I knew everybody. The original woman's, well, I've got them down. The original woman's dormitories were Wilson, Jarvis, Cotton, Ragsdale, and Fleming.
Mm-hmm. Did I miss any? Yeah,
original. I remember when the Philadelphia Athletics baseball team came through in 1938, playing the Williamsport Grays. They played out of Guy Smith Stadium, but they came up to the college to use the college facilities. And they came to the Wright Building to think of showering, but Wright Building, I don't think they had showers. They had them, they didn't work, but they didn't have adequate facilities to entertain the Philadelphia Athletics. Scoring 1 point in a football game, I kicked an extra point against Appalachian once. and I already indicated, always hanging around varsity teams as a young boy. I could name them today. Oh, gosh. Let me see what else I've got. These were just some of the memories. There are probably all kind of things in here that I'd have to dig out, you know, but it might be... I've even listed all of the old teachers I could remember. I just wrote them down. Mm-hmm. I remember Dr. Hildreth, history, great teacher. Dr. Flanagan, he was economics. Miss Davis, Sally Joyner Davis, history, original teacher. Mr. E.C. Holler. They always called him Dr. Holler, but he never had his doctor, but I went to high school with his son and daughter. He was a great teacher. He taught ancient history. Miss Green, she taught me English twice. Miss Mary Green.
Yeah.
I understand later years she was burned up in a house fire
right.
in Greenville.
Yeah, it's very tragic.
Dr. Meredith Neal Posey came from Texas. His first room was next to my mother and father's house on Johnston Street. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met him. Meredith Neal Posey and his wife was Lillian Ott, and she was related to the great baseball player Mel Ott, who was an old-time major league, very famous player. Dr. E.L. Henderson, Miss Carlton, education. Dr. Brandt, science, always holding a snake in his he was great with snakes and girls. I mean, he the girls were always afraid of the snakes, but Dr. Brandt was a little guy I knew him and taught me, but I knew him real well. Dr. Brown, geography. Dr. Adams, psychology. Dr. Wilton, science. Miss Graham, who was the brother of Frank Porter Graham, math. Miss Gorell, piano. She didn't teach me, but I knew her. Dr. Rebark of math. Oh, golly, I could go on and on. M.L. Wright. Mm-hmm. I just quit at it. I have many memories of so many things. Mr. Brown, geography. Professor R.C. Deal. Yeah. Look at his picture up in there. He looks like the old professor. He always had this glass with one eye. And he taught French. He was head of the French department.
Okay.
And I knew his daughter real well, Mary Agnes, who... she majored in elementary. She became an elementary teacher. Dr. Slay, science, Mr. Cummings.
Remember about Dr. Slay? Because he ended up leaving and kind of just disappeared, and there's not a whole lot about him in terms of
the thing I remember most was that Dr. Slay never had, I think, real good health. Mm. His son became the dean of men at Duke. I never had a question under Dr. Slay, but I knew him real well. He was a great bird hunter. He and some of the other professors used to hunt birds, and they'd always start down there near the college power plant. Mm-hmm. And I guess he had bird dogs. They must have kept bird dogs down there somewhere or something. But I never knew a whole lot about Dr. Slay, except I remember his health was not good. He had a real red face. Oh, yes, I did. He came in and lectured two or three times to one of my science classes, as I guess a visiting teacher or something. But I remember him pronouncing the word duodenum or duodium, and I never didn't know which way he pronounced it, but I never thought I was pronouncing it right. I remember him, I associated him with that word, but I didn't know him real well, you know. I'm just looking down,
okay.
Just sort of thinking, but...
Now, you were in band pretty much.
I was only in band most of the first year, and then I got too deeply involved.
Okay,
well, we had a band, and then the second year, I think they started an orchestra under Mr. Dittmer,
okay.
A.L. Dittmer.
Did you play a lot of concerts on campus? Did you tour anywhere?
No, we never toured anywhere. I remember when they got the first band uniforms, and I thought they were horrible looking. They had a little cloak.
No.
I mean, I felt so out of place. But I was a pretty good solo. I was a pretty good trumpet player. I played first solo chair in high school. And there was another good trumpet player named... two good trumpet players. I happened to be one of them. So they wanted me in the orchestra, too. Mm. Well, but I gradually phased out. I was so into athletics. Mm. This is mostly stuff like military years.
Mm-hmm.
My career in Maryland was quite a good one. When I got out of the service, I tell people, I think God has blessed me in so many ways I can indicate things that just crystal clear to me today. I happened to be a Methodist. My people were Methodists. I'm going to a Methodist church in Florida now, and I often do the prayer devotionals, and I've done some. I did one on my father and what he did for Pitt County. He's probably has done more for Pitt County than any man ever did or ever will do in helping the poor people in this county. That's a whole story itself. I don't want to get into it, but I'm blessed to have a good family, good career, many good friends, longevity. I turned 83, sole survivor of the family, and I was blessed to have met in the service Army medical doctor by the name of Howard A. Rusk, R-U-S-K, who happened to be a close friend of Harry Truman from St. Louis. Well, Dr. Rusk was head, what was in, I don't remember the department, he worked out of the Pentagon. I was stationed at Bowling Air Base at one point, adjacent to Washington. And I was, I had shifted to physical rehabilitation from the regular physical routine, training routine. And this is why I think I'm blessed. Dr. Rusk asked me, he would come over to Bowling, and he sort of picked me out, and he asked me to help him set up 286 rehabilitation hospitals, do the, not the book work, but the compiling of things needed in that program right there in Bowling Air Base to be shipped all over the United States. Meanwhile, I got to know his wife and his two boys real well. One of the boys was a patient in the hospital I was attached to. Well, Dr. Rusk became a good friend, and when time came for me to get out of the service, Dr. Russ said, would you like to come with me? Would you like to remain with me in this entire field of medical rehabilitation? He says, I think I can put you in any veterans hospital in the United States you want to go to. Mm-hmm. He was chief consultant to the Veterans Administration and chief consultant to the Bellevue Hospital in New York. Often you see a piece in Reader's Digest written by Howard A. Rusk. I said, Dr. Rusk, I called him. I never called him Howard. He was a full colonel. I wasn't. I don't know whether, I think I called him Dr. Rusk. I said, Dr. Rusk, I went to a teacher's college. I trained to be a teacher, but I want to be a coach. So he went his way, and I went mine. And for years we communicated, and I'm sure he's dead now. But it changed my life in terms of the fact that it put me into coaching. And I got into coaching and teaching and stayed in it for an entire career. And had some very highly successful football teams in Maryland. And even after I finished my first Ironman contest, see, I've done six of those.
Wow.
And if they rated triathletes and senior triathletes in the world, I'd have to be one of the first three for men over 80. Mm-hmm. And I've done over 350 road races, including marathons, and right at 70, triathlons, including six in Kalua Kona, but taking the athletic path, it started me here.
Yeah.
And in terms of going back to reunions, I would be called back to Laurel High School, Maryland, where I coached for the high school reunions as the old coach. And they called me back in 1993, in July. They had telephoned me many months earlier, and they still call me coach. And these guys are retired. I have to play to my 49, 50, and 51 teams. They still call me coach. And asked me to come up. They wanted to have a day for me and Laurel. The mayor declared a proclamation. Had a big thing in the city park. And they raised an enormous sum of money and handed it to me. Said, coach, you never got paid for coaching high school football. It's a little late way of saying thank you. Mm-hmm. And so I still communicate with them. I get Christmas cards and I get letters from them. And of about 100 people who showed up for that first, I called it a celebration in the park. I sent everyone a full-page color picture of my finish line in the World Championship Ironman in Hawaii. So I've made a lot of friendships over the years. That's a real blessing, you know. So I feel real blessed to be here. Good health. Getting ready to do some big events. I'm hoping I can go to Portugal next year to do the World Championship. I'm turning down going to Queenstown, Australia, this December, because I'm going to remain in Florida and do the state senior games, because it might produce a major sponsor. Because there aren't too many men over 80 in the world doing this real vigorous stuff.
Right.
And I know that the East Carolina Athletic Department's been in my corner.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do have so many memories of Greenville mm-hmm. and East Carolina. And it's, East Carolina is never too far out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
And the athletic department, particularly the cross country, what's the coach's name? I forgot.
I don't know.
Weldon?
Weldon. Good.
Anyhow, they're always sending me nice shirts and such stuff.
Let me go back to ECTC.
Oh, ECTC.
It says, according to the yearbook, you served as secretary for the class your junior year and ended up being president of the class?
Oh, the varsity club.
Oh, is that what that? Okay.
Yeah, the varsity club. No,
that
I was never
for.
A class president.
Okay, I misunderstood.
I was
that.
Only an average student in everything except physical ed and history, and I made super grades because I liked them.
Yeah, that makes a difference. Let's see. What else I had on here, just in case. Well, it does. Okay. Now, it does say you were part of the International Relations Club.
Yes.
Now,
I don't remember a whole lot about the International Relations Club, and I don't even remember if you mentioned the name. I know the sponsor was it Dr. Holler, Mr. Holler, or someone else. The pictures in what these yearbooks.
Yeah.
I was never very too active in that.
And that kind of stuff. Okay. Do you remember? Well, you probably do. After Pearl Harbor. What was the mood on campus? Did the guys just get up and enlist, or did they wait until the spring?
A lot of them did. A lot of them.
And some of the teachers I know left.
Yes, but I don't know. I don't remember what teachers left. Some of them, I think, might have been in the military reserve and had to go.
Yeah.
But those who were near graduation,
okay,
they let them remain, like me.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys were leaving, like this fellow O.D. Andrews from Rocky Mountain. He was one of the early ones that left, and he was the first one killed. The mood was a very somber mood. I mean, everything changed. It's sort of like 7-11, 9-11.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything changed. Mm-hmm. The mood changed. Then government was beginning to get into rationing. Food rationing, everything, because we knew that the college would be greatly affected, like no athletics during the war, and I don't know too much about what the curriculum was during the war and how they changed that.
I don't know that it changed that much. Like I said, I know they suspended athletics altogether.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
There just wasn't
anybody
to be teams,
and
it's really odd because earlier, like in the 20s and that, women's athletics was more prominent, and then it kind of went away, and
well,
then it doesn't come back.
Well, it was more intramural.
No.
They didn't have any interscholastic, intercollegiate.
No, but they were more, they had a basketball tournament every Thanksgiving, but it was all the girls.
All girls.
And so that kind of went away.
Mm-hmm.
they started the men's teams in the 30s and 40s, and then that went away.
Yes.
And then all the GIs coming back got all that started up again.
I'll tell you, another effect, though, the war, early days of the war had on it was servicemen based in camps like Cherry Point or
mm-hmm.
Jacksonville and Goldsboro, they eventually ended up marrying a lot of EC girls.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they come up on the weekends or anything like that?
Yes, they could come up on weekends or get 3-day passes or whatever they did. Because I know in the early part of the war, even while I was still there, there were service guys coming to the campus, the dating girls,
mm-hmm.
coming from all these military places.
You told me what your favorite teacher was. What was your favorite class?
A.D. Frank, my favorite class?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the professor that taught me more than any other professor in one course was R.L. Hildreth, who taught me one course in modern European history. He never used a note. He gave a pop quiz every single morning. He knew his history. He was a family friend. I learned more history from him, on modern history, than I did from any of the others, and I liked them all. Of course, I enjoyed Sally Joyner Davis, and I enjoyed A.D. Frank, and I enjoyed some of my other professors. They were the three basic ones. Sally taught simply North Carolina. A.D. taught several histories, and Holler taught several different ancient, medieval, modern. But he's the one that taught me I thought he was the best teacher I ever had.
Great. Well, that's everything I had. If there's anything else you want to say on
the table? I'm just thinking, yes, I'd like to certainly thank both of you for coming over here to interview me, because I do have a closeness and a fondness for East Carolina. I want to continue to go back to Hall of Fame weekends, because I get to see some of the real old-timers like Jimmy Johnson, Four Letter Man, mm-hmm. Billy Green, retired Rear Admiral. These memories. These are people I've known, and of course, takes me back to those days when I knew them so well, and so on. So, again, thank you for coming over and spending the time with me.
And next time you're over, come over to the library, and we'll show you some stuff in the archives. We've got a
yes, I know you've got my Uncle Hugh Thomas Leffer's books. He's his one volume history of North Carolina, I understand, probably the only one ever written. They tell me it's always on the governor's desk.
Okay.
But, yes, I stopped in there. I have never been in the new library.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
How many volumes do they have in there?
Oh, well, over a million.
Over a million, like 1,200,000.
I remember when UNC Chapel Hill only had 500,000.